Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like we talked about before with Hurricane Harvey, you know, when we hear about hurricanes, in the news you've seen this week a lot of people stories. Many of bravery and generosity and heroism. But then there is inevitably also the stories of the foolish and the stupid kind. We hear of those who thought better of the advice that was given and tried to do their own thing as if the storm would make an exception for them. People just want to follow their own way rather than take the advice of others who can provide them with safety and security. Now, that seems to go along with what Jesus is saying in the gospel lesson also today. People would rather try and strike out on their own rather than live under the safety and the security that following Jesus Christ provides. Why is that? Why is it? Why is it that following Jesus provides us the security of always having a safe path to walk on? Well, the short answer is that Jesus is the one who has done what is needed on the cross so that we don't have to. In fact, we couldn't do what he has done because we can't live the perfect life that he has lived. So, following him means he has blazed the trail. And we sang about that in the hymn just a few moments ago when we sang, "Onward in his footsteps treading." And then further on in that same verse, "I shall follow where he guides." That's what we say. Jesus has gone ahead. He's gone ahead. He's cleared the way. He's made a safe path to follow on. When we follow, we are where? We are behind Jesus. We're going the direction he is leading. When we try to step out front, when we try to blaze a path on our own, it just doesn't work, does it? There was a man who went on safari in Africa. He hired a guide, and he followed this guide along the jungle trail. At one point, however, the guide left the trail that the man could see, and he started hacking his way through the thick jungle. And, of course, there was no visible trail at this point. So the man complained. He said, "We're not following the trail any longer. We're not on a path. Are we lost?" The guide turned to him and said, "I am the trail. I am the path. Just follow me. I know exactly where we are and exactly where we're going." I love that story. It's a good one for today. If the man on safari had tried to strike out on his own without the guide, well, of course, that would have been foolish, as if he could have been safe doing so. We know that trying to walk apart from God, apart from Jesus, is just simply a bad idea. That's because on our own, we miss the path. Remember what the guide said to the guy. "I am the path." If we did strike out on our own, we'd miss, as Jesus said to Peter in the gospel lesson today, we'd miss the things of God. The things of God. I know I used a different translation before, and I like things of God rather than concerns of God. We'd miss the things of God. In verse 23, Jesus tells Peter, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Well, Jesus is telling Peter that he's missed the point. What is it that Peter missed? What did Jesus say that Peter didn't seem to grasp? Well, what he said was, after 3 days, the Son of Man would be raised to life again. Now, as we've talked about in recent days and recent weeks, it's easy to fault Peter. It's easy to fault him because of when we live and the fact that he has lived through it, not knowing the ending like you and I all know. But still, Peter makes the point for us that we need to follow carefully all the things of God, or we too can miss it. Peter missed that the idea was to be focused on following after Jesus, not trying to steer Jesus in the way we think he should go. That's what Peter tried to do. He tried to steer Jesus down the wrong path, and Jesus rebuked him for it. Peter tried to lead Jesus down a path that was wrong rather than follow the path that Jesus needed to take. The path to death and the path to resurrection. That's what Jesus was trying to teach them. Jesus needed to go down the path to the cross so that all sin would be paid for. Only his blood can do what the law of God demands, fulfill the payment for sin. Our blood doesn't work. Our blood doesn't work because we are sinful and we miss out on living a perfect life because we, like Brother Peter, want to live as if things happen our own way. Do we really recognize that? Do we really recognize that without Jesus, we are truly lost? We are truly damned to a real hell. That's true, you know. Our rejection of the law of God well and truly condemns us. Can we really say with the psalmist, "For I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering"? Is that a true statement for each of us? Can we honestly say we've not wavered in our trust of the Lord? That's why following the path that Jesus has blazed and not on our own, that's why that's what is safest. Because we know that we have wavered and sinned. We've not kept our integrity perfectly before God. And that's why Jesus had to walk the path to the cross and the grave and new life again. He did that for us. That's what Peter missed as being the things of God that Jesus spoke about. We have to thank God for Peter and his big mouth. He's spoken up in our place and we get the benefit of his screw-ups. Jesus has used Peter to teach us to focus on the things of God. Like in the Jeremiah reading for today, in verse 19, the Lord says, "If you repent, I will restore you." Repentance, too, is one of those things of God we need to focus on. Repentance teaches us to indeed be sorry for our wavering and for our faltering hearts and for our sinfulness. And it also teaches us, importantly, to turn and trust in the work of Christ on the cross alone. There is great comfort in that. Repentance teaches us to take comfort that Jesus took our place and paid our debt. A man I read about told the story of being in bankruptcy court. As he sat there in the nearly full courtroom, his heart was heavy as he contemplated standing before the judge and being at the mercy, literally, of the court. As the judge entered the room and climbed toward his seat, the bailiff cried out, "All debtors rise." A little of the heaviness lifted from the man's heart when the whole courtroom rose and he realized he wasn't alone. The room was full of debtors. I would like you all now to please stand. Please stand. We too, all of us standing here, are debtors before God. The church is not made up of some who need forgiveness and some who don't. There are only two classes of people in this whole world. Sinners who know that Jesus Christ has taken away their sins, and sinners who don't. You may be seated. For those of us sinners who know that Jesus has taken away our sins, we have the joy of living now in Jesus' righteousness alone. We are living life new because we have been made that way by the blood of Jesus Christ alone. We've had the evil in us overcome by His righteousness given into us in our baptisms. That's what we also partake of today when we come to the communion rail. Now, a little ways beyond today's reading in Romans, St. Paul says in verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This also is one of those things of God. Jesus wants us to keep that in mind. Jesus has overcome all evil. All evil. And His goodness now lives in us by His grace. We have within us that which overcomes evil. I don't know about you, but that's amazing to me. But we do recognize that. We do live knowing that that is true for us. Or perhaps we're like this farmer fellow that I read about. He lived on the same small farm all of his life. He really decided he wanted to change one day. So he decided he was going to sell his place and buy something else that was more to his liking. So he called the local realtor to list his farm. The realtor came out, of course, and examined the farm and put an advertisement in the paper. Meanwhile, the farmer decided to watch the ads for the kind of place differently that he wanted to move to. So he came across this ad that described his dream place, a beautiful farmhouse, ideal location, excellent barn, good pasture, fertile soil, up-to-date equipment, well-bred stock, near town, church, and school, good neighbors. So what'd the farmer do? He quickly drove into town, went to the realtor's office, and told him at last he'd found the kind of farm that he wanted for himself his whole life. So he showed him the ad, and of course, what happened? It was his own farm, that's right. The realtor grinned from ear to ear. He was reading the ad for his own place. The point is that we already have, living within us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, all the things of God. All the things of God that we're ever going to need. What we do well to learn is that God has given us those things for our use. Like the farmer, we already have all that we desire and more. We already have the things of God given to us by His grace. We have no need to fear that we're walking down a wrong path like the man on the African safari. We need only to follow Jesus. He is the path. In following Him, we know we're safe and not lost, that we're forgiven and not condemned, that we have all we need for life now, in the here and now, and for life then, in the eternal. So then the question has to be asked, what does following Jesus look like? What does following Jesus' path mean in our lives? Well, I want to share with you something that I heard last week. And it means living as if. My friend that I talked with said that when you want to see change in your life, you live as if that change has taken place. Like the farmer, we can live as if we already have the farm of our dreams. That's because we do. In truth, we already have the life that we desire. We cling, as St. Paul said, to what is good. And what is good is the righteousness of Christ. We already have that by grace through faith alone. So, we're free now to live as if we do because we do. We have it all in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth